be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, friends, visitors, members. Good morning to everyone who is here. It is good that we are here today. And a special warm welcome to Andrew and Rebecca, who are with us as our special musicians for the day. It's so lovely that you're here and very grateful for your presence. And if you want to hear more, come back at 2, where you'll be part of the Youth Symphony concert that will be here at 2 o'clock. But welcome. It is good that we are here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We journey this day, which is the fourth Sunday in Lent, we journey towards Easter together. So let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Come. Let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as the dawn.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us.
By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children forward for a children's group. Whatever you want to call it. And you guys look tired today. Was it a long night? Well, thank you for being here. I need to fast. Oh, yeah. It's perfect. It has an assistant. What's this, folks?
Water.
What's this?
Dirt.
Dirt. What happens when you mix the two? Get mud, right? Get mud. Get mud. Well, our text, wet dirt, eventually get mud. It was not potting soil with the mud either. But anyways, mud, water, dirt gets mud, right? In our gospel today, Jesus takes spit and dirt, makes mud, and then puts mud on this blind person's eyes. And then he goes to wash, and then he gets his sight. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Well, here's the question of the day. Here's the question of the day. Ready for it? Why? Why does he need to put water? Why does he have to make mud to put on this guy's eyes so that he gets his sight? About what? Any ideas? Come on, there's, you got to guess. Anyone? Why is Jesus use mud?
Cleanse.
To cleanse? That's a good answer. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? You're thinking?
Cleanse.
You got cleanse is a theory. Any more? Any got? Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it helped his sight grow.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. So he said, you plant plants in dirt with water, helps the plant grow. Maybe Jesus wants to grow his sight. So he puts dirt and water on his sight. That's profound. I really like that. Well, we could do this all day long with all kinds of theories on why Jesus uses mud to restore this guy's sight. And let me tell you the real answer. You ready for it? No one knows. Nobody knows. And we don't understand it. We don't understand why he uses mud. So there you go. But you know what? You don't have to understand it for it to give you sight. So you see, there's a lot of things we don't understand. But yet you can see. You can see when someone uses mud to restore sight, and you go, wow, that's a gift. And a lot of the things we do in the church is just seeing, not necessarily knowing. So we can see Christ among us in each other. We can see Christ at the table. We don't have to know how. We just see and believe. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together with a loud clap. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that we can see.
Thank you that we can see.
Amen.
Amen.
And you are Mr. Sunday School. Thank you.
first reading this fourth Sunday in Lent is written in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now hear the word. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely his anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass by Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And our song today is Psalm 23. It can be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I'll read the light print, and if you would please reply with what's printed in bold. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And our second reading is a reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Now hear the word. Once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and the Christ will shine on you. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Congregation, I extend to you the same invitation I extended last week. This is a really long gospel. So if anyone needs to sit, you are free to do so. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went, and I washed, and I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him, how had he received his sight? He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And he said, he is a prophet. The people did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he now sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the people. The people had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogues. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they replied to him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you are blind, you would not have sinned. But now you say, 'We see.' Your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, that was a doozy. Next week's going to be similar. Welcome to the Gospel of John. Well, there's a paradox of seeing that is what our text is about. And it's that you can see, you can look at something, and actually not see it. For all the caregivers and parents in the room, you all have this story. I remember it well, sending one of my children into their room to get their coat so that we go out on one of those cold days. You hear a little pitter-patter of the feet dash into the room. You hear all the noise and commotion of the room. Then the child comes out and says, "Dad, I can't find my coat." "Well, it's in your room. Go check." Sure enough, the feet go off into the room. A few minutes later, the child comes back. "I can't find my coat." took my dear one by the hand, led them into their room, and lo and behold, the coat is laying on the bed with arms wide open. Here I am. We can see, but not see. This point was driven home when I worked in the prison. We know prisoners are very crafty at creating cubby holes and loopholes and secret compartments within a secret compartment. And correctional officers are trained, hardwired to find the secret stash. No matter how ingenious the secret hiding loophole was, they seem to always find it. But you don't find what is left in plain sight. Literally, one can put contraband right on your desk and then go through cell search after cell search, never be found. We can see and yet not see. Sometimes we are told, or we hear it, that if I cannot see it, I don't believe in it. But then, friends, ask yourself how the modern world is powered by all these unseen forces that we tap into. Atoms and electrical waves and currents and radio signals and all these forces that are unseen and yet power the whole world. And if you could go back, say, 1,000 years and transport someone from the ancient world to our world, how would they describe our world? They would probably think it was powered by magic. Because that's all magic is trying to do, right? Tap into the unseen forces. It's a magical world, but for us who see it, it's normal. And what do we do with this wonderful magic that we have that powers our world? A world of overabundance. A world where we throw away more things, we throw away more than enough things to end hunger and poverty the world over. And yet, what do we see in this world of magic of ours? We only see scarcity. We can see and yet not see. And thus enters our gospel text. Those who can see Jesus, see his signs, see what he's doing, don't see it. But the blind man who cannot see, who incidentally doesn't even know who Jesus is, and there's a cautious tale for us all of us religious folk. God heals the one person in the story who does not know who Jesus is. And the story is about his journey into seeing. If you notice, in this long text, he keeps getting asked and asked and asked and asked. And slowly the story starts developing into what he will come to. Oh, this man by the name of Jesus. Then he says he's a prophet. Later, when he's asked again. And then, when pressed, says, I don't know who he is, but he must be from God, because no one else can do it. And when Jesus finally comes to him, he still doesn't know who Jesus is. It's only then that he cries out with the confession of faith, Lord, I believe. So maybe the question for us today is, how do we see better? And I think the text points us to see what we have been given. We don't have to look for the hidden compartment. We don't have to look for mystery. We don't have to read between the lines. Just read the lines. And look at all the things God has given. Life, family, breath, great love, mercy. Let us see what we have. And then let appreciation and gratitude grow. And then maybe, throughout the course of a lifetime, understanding will come. Jesus does not ask this person to understand in order to receive his sight. Gives him his sight and invites him into a world and a lifetime of understanding. Seems to me we get that reversed in the church a lot, where we want understanding first before seeing. So friends, let us see what God has given us. Let us see the table that is set before us. See, on this table there is bread and wine. See that we call out that this bread and wine is the body and blood of Christ. We do not need to understand how that is so. But we know that here is the invitation to come and encounter the love of God poured out for us. This is the body of Christ for you. So come, see it, take. And then as we depart from this space, bring that new sight to the world around us. Amen.
Amen.
I heard the voice of Jesus.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. God, our shepherd, we pray that you guide the church. Lead Christians in our community and across the globe in right paths for your name's sake. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our provider, we cry out for this planet and the life it holds. Rescue endangered animals and plants. Preserve threatened ecosystems and save creatures from natural disaster. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our sovereign, we plead for your peace on earth. Bring an end to war and violence and raise up leaders in governments, courts, schools, businesses, and community organizations who seek goodness and mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our healer, we call to you in our need. Uplift all who are made to feel unimportant and transform the hearts of all infected by bigotry and injustice. Care for all in special need, especially Joe, Harold, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Mike, Paul, Jill, and Bran. Care also for immigrants and refugees that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. We pray for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters, both in our nation and around the world. And we pray for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our friend, we praise you for the diversity of people among us. Awaken us to share and receive the gifts we each possess and stir up a spirit of understanding, celebration, and welcome for all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our home, we thank you for all who have died and completed their baptismal journeys. Grant us faith to live until we too dwell in your house forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. all those, and we ask everyone to come back together now, and for those able to stand, please stand now for our offering. Let us pray. O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounties. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of this bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people. And all means all to please all. If you are here with us today, you are part of the all, and you are all invited forward to receive from this table. In a few moments, the usher will come and we'll start on this side. And as you come forward, we ask you to fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is comfortable for you. Just come with your hand extended and the bread will be given to you. You have gluten-free options upon request. And then when the wine comes around, you can either reach in and take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. And if you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you may also do that. Just come with your arms folded and I will say a prayer for you. But know this, is the table of God for all, and you are all invited now. Amen. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our soul, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause briefly for some announcements. And again, we want to extend a warm thank you and appreciation for Andrew and Rebecca. Thank you for being here with us. And they will be part of the youth concert at 2. So if you want to hear more, come back at 2 with the free concert. And to the end of the free concert, we're asking for a few able-bodied souls to help us get this area ready for that immediately after the service. Also, we have an excess of pea plants from the pea project we have across the street. They are on our free table outside, so if you want a pea plant, they're there on the way. And as always, the rest of the events of the week are in the insert. We call the words of the week. Lots and lots of things going on at the church this week, so please be invited to attend any and all of that. With that being said, let's prepare to receive the blessing. God, who calls all things into existence, Jesus Christ, who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit, whose breath sustains creation, bless you now and always.
Amen. Amen.